TalkRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect and damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Jolson.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Awesome Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults. Obviously, I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace. And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby. And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. On the road to WrestleMania, there is a minor little speed bump known as the Elimination Chamber, where world titles do not matter as Cena has once again flown in from Krypton to slay a monster once known as Doomsday.
You know,
this is the Omega.
What? That's what happens when people get that close to the Spanish announce table. I'm sure the Spanish speed tonight was hibbity hobbita, hibbity hibbity.
How many years we've been doing this? Professionalism. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR network. I'm joined by Spug.
You know, the unfortunate thing about tonight, what really bothered me, is at no point during either Elimination Chamber did I feel that the titles were in jeopardy. Like, legitimately, like, I mean, it was great. It was great to see Punk retain and Daniel Bryan, retain. But honestly, part of the, you know, matches like this are the audience feeling like the title could legitimately change hands. Like, you may not see Punk with the belt at Mania. Like, that's the whole point. And it really kind of irked me that at no point during either of those matches did it feel like that the champions were going to lose.
Also with us tonight.
I'm sorry. I thought we were a wrestling show.
We'll get to that. You know the procedure. We'll get there. And of course, we also have Alan Wojcik.
Hey guys, how are you? Very, very exhausting pay-per-view from those two chambers. Holy God.
And now that he has fixed the echo problem.
Did he?
I hope so. We have Tim Stein.
Or do we?
We have Tim Stein. We have Tim Stein.
We don't have Tim Stein.
We have the ghost of Tim Stein, maybe.
This isn't an echo again. I'm waiting.
This is like the injury angle on Raw or SmackDown. They play the guy's music a couple times. And
nah, I just thought it was kind of cool to have Omega keep saying, "This is Tim Stein," like it was an echo. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, we're going to be breaking down WWE's Elimination Chamber. Spud, you started in with some thoughts and opinions. Did you want to continue with those?
No. I said my whole piece, but that's okay. Apparently, we're just here to do intros and not talk wrestling at all.
Well, you know, you got to like let everybody come onto the show before we get into it. And now that we're into it, we can start talking about it. And we might as well take a look at the first match, the opener, the WWE Championship Elimination Chamber match. Was anybody surprised they opened up the pay-per-view with this one?
A little bit.
I have never in my life seen the WWE Championship open a pay-per-view.
Didn't they open last year's chamber?
With a SmackDown.
Oh, it was 2 years ago because Shawn Michaels came out from underneath the thing, the Takeout Taker, two years ago.
Yeah, well, see, the world title, yeah, because they don't take the world title seriously, but not the WWE Championship.
No, no, a couple of years ago, the WWE title did open the chamber.
Well, what were you going to honestly open the show with? You were going to open with the Justin Gabriel, Sheamus thing that happened, Jack Swagger thing that happened later on in the evening.
We'll get there.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
that
was your one surprise match, Tim. I don't know what else you're going to open with here. You're certainly not going to open with what was the main event because you start having people throwing crap at the ring before they ever drop the cage. Or you could just have Natty farting, which seems to be the popular thing with the SmackDown writers. Don't get it.
You know, try to keep some type of format here.
I'll
and
say
everyone
this.
Just goes and picks whatever they want.
I'll say
well,
this.
Well, he asked what else would open the show. I'm just giving him examples.
I'll say this. We don't need to talk about it because nobody gives a fuck about Natty Neidhart. Nobody. Apparently the WWE doesn't. The fans don't because she hasn't done shit in 2 years. So let's not talk about it.
We can save the Natty farting rants for Mace because he's already done it once. I'm sure he'll do it again. But, I'm kind of surprised if they were going to open up with a chamber match, they would WWE title match, but instead of the SmackDown chamber match.
Well, we'll get there, but that kind of became obvious the way both of them were booked.
As soon as this one came on, I was like, and Punk's going to Mania. I didn't even care order of the thing was.
Yeah, in a sense, it makes sense that way because it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. But Spug did make the point. I mean, he was in there first. You know, Punk started that match, but there really wasn't enough tension for me to believe that his title was on the line. Part of that was probably how they eliminated Jericho in the match.
How they eliminated Jericho was brilliant because Jericho can now come back on Raw and demand a title shot at WrestleMania because he was never eliminated from the chamber. And I will say this to those of you who thought that Jericho had to be the champion. No, he doesn't. Because it makes no damn sense.
Yeah, he didn't have to be the champion. He didn't have to win tonight, but he was the most credible one in that match besides Punk. The second he leaves the match, then you've got no tension anymore. Cause it wasn't going to be anyone else there. It wasn't going to be Miz with zero build up.
Leaving Miz until last also to me irked me a little bit because I kind of thought that You could have eliminated Jericho in the sense of you have it come down to Punk and Jericho and you have Punk throw that kick or somebody throw a hard move into Jericho or have Punk throw a hard move into Jericho into that big door and Jericho can go swinging out that door a la Stone Cold and Big Show from St. Valentine's Day Massacre in 98. And then Jericho, you know, I think the camera guy, unfortunately, was just a matter of happenstance. Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't supposed to be part of that. Because did you see the referee throw up the legitimate X?
Yeah, no one gave the cameraman the heads up.
Yeah.
You would think everybody would know what's going on.
That's the thing. Like, you could have saved Punk and Jericho till last and have Jericho get eliminated that way, because then it gives Jericho more venom, because then Punk didn't legitimately beat Jericho, did he?
Well, at the same time, it worked the way they did it, because, okay, it's the Miz, you know, and probably in that match, he probably was the most credible, since he was going into Mania as the champion this time last year, and that way the match actually does have a finish. It doesn't just end on somebody, you know, mysteriously getting DQ'd, because that just, or being injured in this case. So at least then you have a payoff. At least then the match does conclude.
I thought it was over right then and there. I was like, okay, wait a minute, what the hell just happened here? It creates the illusion. I saw three different angles of that thing, and I'm still trying to figure out, okay, is he hurt? Is he working?
Oh, no, it's work.
is, cause I mean, they stayed out there for a long time working on Jericho, and the camera person and whatever else got taken out. That was, and it was just funny cause last Sunday we watched the same type of thing with just Sorensen and Shim Zion, and that was 100% legit. Sorensen finally went home from the hospital. So when I saw that, I was kind of going, oh yeah, you're not watching your competition at all.
There's a difference, though. I think there's a legitimate difference.
Yeah, I don't think WWE is trying to capitalize on TNA or TNA's problem there. So,
yeah.
No, but with, they were out there a while, but they were out there a while because the cameraman wasn't supposed to be there. The cameraman was legitimately hurt.
Yeah, when they cut to CM Punk looking really worried and concerned, that was over the cameraman.
Yeah, that wasn't over Jericho. That was over the cameraman. That's why they were out there a while.
Yeah. Cause that's the touch I loved. It was CM Punk's leave and Jericho still laid out and just looks over and meh, walks off.
See you tomorrow, dude.
So, I mean, but yeah, like, it just, tonight they could have done on a Raw. Like, this wasn't a pay-per-view and that bothers me. Legitimately bothers me.
Well, how'd you like to elaborate on why it bothers you?
Because the Elimination Chamber and matches like it are supposed to be where feuds go to die. There's a reason they call them blow-off matches. And if you're gonna have a pay-per-view that has a gimmick as its gimmick, then you really need to make sure that it delivers. And, yeah, I know. John Cena Kane ambulance match. It's got a big star in it. Whatever. It that shouldn't have been your main event. One of the chambers should have been your main event.
Oh yeah. Yeah, easily.
That segment with Johnny Ace, that's a Raw segment. You don't do that on a pay-per-view. Especially an ancillary pay-per-view like this one.
They didn't need to fill time tonight.
No. And what
No,
really,
they wanted to they I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Spock. They just wanted to bring those three guys back and make it on the pay-per-view, but I don't disagree with you. They could have held that off until tomorrow night.
And what really bugs me is that, like I said earlier, at no point during either of those two matches did I feel like the champions were legitimately threatened. One, two, they were lackluster matches in the pantheon of Elimination Chamber matches, and we've actually seen a few good ones. I understand that is a hard match to work because of the way the timing is structured with individuals coming in and so forth. One, I think you can cut that down from 5 minutes to say three, because I think legitimately the crowd gets bored waiting for people to come in. Two, when your chamber match has Big Show and Great Khali in it, don't you think you're stretching just a tad?
I take issue with that, but I want to wait till we get there.
Yeah, can we wait till we get to certain points of the show?
I'm sorry.
We have a format, Spud. You know, we kind of do this. You know, we have.
Tim asked me why I didn't like tonight's pay-per-view, and I ran down why I didn't.
Okay, don't have to go into full detail. Let us get there.
For an opener, it was entertaining. There were a lot of good ooh crap spots. I honestly feared that Kofi Dolph Ziggler spot where it was he did the jump to the cage and then did the DDT with Ziggler. I'm sitting there going, oh brother, tell me that's a work, because that looked like he got spiked dead into the cage. I expected them to go to another camera shot, come back and see Ziggler's head down through the metal and his legs just straight up like a lawn dart. They just sold that so damn good.
It was done nice.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the way the chamber's always been. I felt it's okay, we're going to do a ooh spot over here and a ooh spot over here. wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. It's almost watching any TLC thing, but now you've got this humongous structure to play around with.
Well, every time you put Kofi Kingston in a match like this, you might as well change his little title card when he comes out to the ring to Spot Monkey. Because you know that's exactly what he's in there for.
Yeah, and that's what John was there for, and Shelton Benjamin was there for years.
Yeah, but if you change Kofi Kingston's nickname to Spot Monkey, somebody's going to accuse you of racism. The opening match should have some pretty good spots to it. I have to admit, I enjoyed the cameraman getting hurt.
If they had a proper camera angle of Jericho going down, it would not have been as believable as the cameraman going down too.
Well, yeah, this is true, and of course, all those guys are all rigged up with audio, so maybe he was actually told, you know, go stand in this certain spot, just so Jericho would crack on him, make it look even better. You know, it's just like,
okay cameraman, okay,
get hurt.
Okay, cameraman, the door, we want you to be alert and on your feet, because the door is 5 feet wide. The door is 6 feet wide. I know that. Don't tell him.
Shut up. Yeah. So, yeah. But taking a look at it really really quickly, you guys, you already brought it up, talking about, what does this do for Jericho? Tell you the truth, one thing he does not need, and I think Spug is going to agree with me on this one, the one thing he does not need is the title.
It makes no sense.
No sense. Yeah, you know, you stop and think about it. He's won one match since he's come back, right? And why should he get a title shot over anybody else that could be considered a contender on Raw?
But then what do you do for WrestleMania if Jericho's won one match. Why does he get? How do you get Jericho into the main event of WrestleMania when he's won one match?
Because of what they did tonight.
An injury angle does not give you the right for a title match.
Gives you a match on Raw, not at WrestleMania.
It's not an injury angle. It's an angle of I just got knocked out of this match. I was never eliminated. He never beat me.
Then you get a shot on Monday Night Raw. The way they're doing this.
No.
Yeah, I don't see this happening. Jericho's going to milk this for 6 weeks. That's a lot of milking, man. I don't know how big the WWE cow is, but to milk this for that long?
Better be big damn teats, hey, Alan?
Yeah, he's got to get at least something. If he wins the belt on one of the next two Monday Night Raws, fine. That's how you get him to WrestleMania. But to go off of this, and I know Bugs probably going to disagree with me here. We talked about it Tuesday night. We expected Punk to drop this to any of the five that were in there with him. I figured if you're going to get Jericho there, that's how you got to do it. He's a quick transitional, put the belt on him. All right, now you drop the belt there. He gets to go back into the King of the World mode and back out and wearing the suits and the jacket gets burned all of George Michael and in the videos of the 90s, do that. He loses the little sparkle coat, and he turns back into egomaniac. But now I'm just kind of looking at the tea leaves of WrestleMania going, well, that did look good.
I don't understand how anyone can go, I don't want to watch that match now because Jericho doesn't have the belt.
No one said that, Spug.
No, I think the only concern is that Jericho either needs a very legitimate reason to have a championship match, his first one-on-one championship match since returning at WrestleMania, and tonight was a good is a good way of doing that. The only other way would be for him to go into Mania with the belt.
Or pull out the old school Chris Jericho book and go to paragraph 5, line 22 says this.
Oh, if he goes to the Library of Congress tomorrow night.
I'm with Omega in the fact that to legitimately put him into this match, into Mania, the only way to do it is the way they eliminated him, quote unquote, tonight. Because now he has a legitimate gripe that, hey, I never lost a Punk. And they'll probably make him do a number one contenders match on Raw, which he'll win, and we know that. And that's your formality. But honestly, to sit there and say that the only believable way that Jericho and Punk could face off at Mania is if Jericho held the belt is fucking stupid.
I'm just providing options. I don't care how it happens. I really want to see Punk versus Jericho one-on-one, because look at the crowd reaction in the chamber as soon as Jericho hit the ring and the two of them were face-to-face. That joint went nuts. And now amplify that to 70, 80, whatever thousand people are going to pack Sun Life Stadium in Miami. I want to see it again. I don't care. You can say, no, the belt's not on the line. Who cares? Just book the two of them.
So Jericho is the challenger going to WrestleMania. CM Punk's the champion. Does Jericho have a legitimate shot at winning the title at WrestleMania?
No.
At that point, yes.
Stop and think like a WWE writer and creative, and maybe even Vince or Triple H, depending on who's calling the final shots. He has a legitimate shot? Sorry, Omega.
I can't think like a WWE writer. I have a triple-digit IQ.
Yeah, I can't go there either. My first instinct isn't to have Jericho start kissing one of the divas for no frickin' reason whatsoever.
Well, hey, Omega, just keep one thing in mind. It's easier for a smart person to play dumb than a dumb person to play smart.
If we're going into Mania and Punk is the champion and Jericho is chasing, at that moment in time, it is more believable that Punk or that Jericho could walk out with the title at Mania than it was tonight.
But it makes more sense for Jericho to have the belt going in WrestleMania, because if you think about the formula of WrestleMania, it's always the culmination of a champ at the chase for a title, and that's what you need. You don't have a heel chasing a babyface going to WrestleMania. It doesn't make any sense.
It's rare, but it does in this case. For the simple fact of the way that they've booked this is that Jericho was the originator.
I get the reason for the match,
but I'm just saying. I'm telling you why it makes sense. That they booked it so that, in the sense that Jericho is the originator, and that. Everyone else is copying. If you wanted to put the title on Jericho, you could have done it back in December when he came back, and they didn't.
He came back
at the Rumble.
He came back in January.
Or whatever. January. You could have done it then, and they didn't. He could have won the Rumble, and they...
That's where they fucked it up. They fucked it up by him not winning the Rumble.
No, by all accounts, from sources within the WWE creative department, they wanted Jericho to win the Rumble, and he told them no, because he thought it would have been overboard.
Well, there are two sources of output on that one there. One of them is that WWE changed their mind at the last second to swerve the IWC and all the dirt sheet posters who were trying to convince everybody that Jericho was going to win the Rumble and that it was a foregone conclusion. Now, the thing about it is, you're saying sources inside WWE, Spud. Where are you getting this information, just out of curiosity?
Dirt sheets.
There you go. That's my point exactly, right?
Wait, all right, here's the thing, Tim. My wife doesn't do what I do. My wife doesn't do what we do. She doesn't do three radio shows a week talking about wrestling and watch every fucking DVD known to man that she can get her hands on. And at the Royal Rumble, she looked at me and said, "So you think Jericho's going to win?" Like, it didn't... WWE wasn't swerving anybody. They weren't trying to swerve the IWC. The casual fan called that from a mile away.
Yeah, well, I wasn't actually promoting that was the reason Jericho didn't win the Rumble. I was just bringing up that, you know, this hardcore group of fans on the internet are saying this, that, and the other thing, and then they're also saying, well, the reason why he didn't was because we were all saying this, that, and the other thing, and they changed it around.
And you and I both know, Tim, that the majority of dirt sheets that we look at are highly credible.
Oh, yeah, they are so damn credible.
Don't be sarcastic. I'm being serious. The ones that you and I look at are fairly credible.
Well, no, I know what you're talking about. I was just taking a shot at all the other ones. Certain ones, you know, that will post a rumor as fact and crap like that. Or just make things up at 3 o'clock in the morning because they're bored and have nothing better to do and it's a slow news day. There are too many of those out there.
Right, but getting back to the point of the matter is...
Let me just cut you off, Rock, and interject on this one. I can understand where Spud's going with it, and don't, like, drop your jaws onto the floor. I don't disagree with him on this topic. The way that they have basically booked out this whole storyline of him coming back is it makes the whole thing credible, him chasing the title going into WrestleMania. Whether he wins it at WrestleMania is a different story, whether he should. That's not for me to say one way or the other. But in this instance, as far as booking goes, you got this guy, he's jaded, he's pissed off, he's like, you guys are all ripping me the fuck off, that's it, I'm coming back and getting my due. And if you want to kill the storyline immediately, you let it pay off immediately. If you want to drag it out a little bit, you have him chase it.
If Jericho... isn't chasing Punk. If Jericho has the belt, there's no interest. There's no fan interest.
Yeah, because whether he's a heel or a babyface, Jericho's going to have his own little niche of fans. And believe it or not, they're not all Canadians. But you're not going to get as big a response as Cena's fans and people who hate him. You know, let's go Cena. Cena sucks. But you are going to get a little bit of you're going to generate that interest. And, I've got to agree. If he gets the immediate payoff, then you've wasted his entire return.
Bueller.
Anybody?
Waiting to move on.
Go ahead, move on.
Move it along, brother. Not the host tonight.
So, Punk retaining the title. Second match out, we've got the Divas Championship match. Beth Phoenix versus, don't call it Tamina. Tamina Snuka. As everybody probably has got it figured out by now, they're pushing her by her full name, really making use of the fact that she happens to be Superfly's daughter. And, pitting her and Beth Phoenix against each other in the ring, okay, that makes for, don't call them divas, a great women's wrestling match. Or at least the idea of, you know what I mean? So,
that match should have opened the show.
When was the last time a divas match opened a show?
A quality one? A long time.
Yeah, that's just it. You can't have quality anymore because, I'm sorry, 95% of them are fluff. And you know you got people like Natty Neidhart to put over all the little fluff girls. Pardon the play on words.
Wow. Like
maybe 15% of the people listening.
Let that go.
Yeah, I figure maybe 15% of the people listening know what a fluff girl is.
Get the fluffer!
For those who don't know...
Watch
hey,
orgasm.
Hey.
It's their jaw. A flipper is someone on a porn set who keeps the actors in character.
Is that your politically correct way of saying keeping their erections erect?
It helps them rise to the occasion.
There you go. Welcome to Porn Talk on WTR Sunday Night. Moving on. Yeah, no, the match was good. It was I don't want to say surprising. It wasn't surprising because of the two women in the ring. I'm just kind of sort of surprised the tiniest little bit that WWE is actually, sticking with these two the way they are and actually letting them put on something that could be construed as entertaining for a women's match in WWE. You know what I mean, Alan?
Yeah, it was really weird to be sitting there and I'm looking at the watch going, hey, wait a minute, 3 minutes and they're still in the ring. Okay. 5 minutes and they're really still going here. It's nice to give her someone else to face, but I've said it for several weeks on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Nobody cares until we get to WrestleMania where we all want the one match. We want Karma versus Beth Phoenix. We're not going to get it because WWE knows we want it, but that's the thing. You're setting Beth up as this, she is the Glamazon, but you're setting this up where she's like, you know, what was the line from Die Hard? Alexander stared and wept for he had no more worlds to conquer. There's your movie reference. Clip that. And it's just like, okay, she at one point on WWE.com came out and said, this is really boring to me. And said, well, take his ass out here. She needs to come out tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, get in Beth Phoenix's face, and it's on.
Well, you're talking about, you know, Karma coming and taking on Beth Phoenix. Who's to say that Karma doesn't come back as, you know, a baby face? Or Karma comes back as the heel, but, sometime between now and,
doesn't matter how she comes
now
back.
And she already WrestleMania, Tamina gets the title.
She already came back as the baby face. I mean, that's what her Rumble appearance was. Anytime you beat up Michael Cole, fans love you.
Yeah, the audience made her baby.
The audience made her baby. And I want to say this. Alan, you don't give the WWE writers, the good ones, enough credit in that they do listen to the fans.
In certain aspects, they do. I'm not saying, I'm not discounting them, but.
Chris Jericho, Punk, because of the fans. You're going to get Beth Phoenix and Karma at Mania.
Sure.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only women's match you can book.
And it'll be 2 minutes long because heaven forbid John Cena and The Rock not have an hour.
Dude, you know what?
I'm sorry. That's a really pessimistic view.
It's kind of negative.
You know it.
That is kind of negative, and I don't know if you said it tongue in cheek or not. But
yeah, I said it tongue in cheek. Relax.
I pray God, the guy who just was amazed at a 5 minute diva match on pay per view.
No, it's a 3 hour, 50 minute pay per view. The girls are gonna get more than that.
I was honestly more entertained by this match than I expected. It's a divas match on pay per view, and I have this instinctual cringe that I do every time I hear that.
It's our traditional walk the dog, take out the trash, get a sandwich made match.
Mm-hmm.
Not tonight.
Well, you know, I admit it. When the Divas came on, that's when I took the opportunity to go take a leak and was rather surprised that they were still wrestling when I came back. Not in a bad
way.
Go ahead.
I like, the match was good. What bothers me though is that if you're gonna have Beth and Karma at Mania, then by all means, you should hit the moment that Beth hit the implant buster tonight, you should have heard the cackle and Karma should have come walking down to the ring.
I would have liked to hear when she's in the middle of celebrating, I would have liked to have seen her come out. I would have liked to hear that cackle.
She lays out someone tomorrow night, honestly, and then you hear it.
Tomorrow night she'll cut a promo. She will cut that promo that there are no challengers left, and then you'll hear the cackle.
Does she come out with the baby papoose on and have little Karma? I'm kidding. God, come on.
You're failing worse than Tim at trying to be funny tonight.
I'm well aware of that. I've been failing since about 7 o'clock Eastern.
All I can say, Alan, is congratulations. If you're failing worse than me, that's an achievement because it takes up.
When you get an entire household hating your guts, you're doing pretty good.
The problem, I think people put way too much emphasis on doing things on Raw. And it's not just you, Alan. I've heard other people say it too. At some point, you need to do something at a pay-per-view. Because then, you know, people go, oh my god, did you see what happened at Elimination Chamber last night? And if people say no, you know, like you need to give people something to talk about. And having Karma come out last night, or tonight, after that match, would have made a lot of sense.
I expected it with Sheamus at some point tonight, and I didn't get it. That's where I thought we were going to have the holy crap moment of the night was, crap, Sheamus is going to make his pick right here, right now. And
he did.
Well, yeah, he did, Alan.
He did, Alan.
He's going after Daniel Bryan. He's going after the world title.
That must have been
during one of the many times Abby got up during the night. Sorry.
He did. After the Chamber match, as I was leaving where I was, out of the corner of my eye, I saw the Sheamus pick up Daniel Bryan and slam him. So
yeah, gave him Fit Finley's old move. I can't remember what he used to call it.
The Alabama or not the
That's Hardcore Holly.
Emerald Fusion.
No, Emerald Fusion. That's not Emerald Fusion.
It's not. What it was?
No.
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't get to see much of the SmackDown cage.
No, it was okay. But yeah, but he like I said a couple weeks ago, when he won the Rumble, it's going to be Daniel Bryan and Sheamus at Mania. Dark match gone to main event.
Well, it's a great story. I love that.
Me too.
Just as we're ready to go to our first break of the evening, and then we'll actually get into World Heavyweight Elimination Chamber discussion in a little bit more detail on the other side of our timeout. My question is, sure, Karma was back for the Rumble. She did a couple things, but after having a kid, is she yet fully cleared to actually wrestle a match right now? Maybe she's got to wait another week or two, and that could be why they didn't do what you were suggesting would have been a great moment.
Well, they did it. The way they did it was because, A, Sheamus was already going to pull a moment like that, and that builds up your world title match at WrestleMania.
Right.
But they do it that way. They've really, since they've been building up Tamina, even since Natty and Beth started doing separate things as well, where they're showing a little bit more, you know, a little bit more seriousness toward the Diva division. They've been building Tamina up as a credible wrestler, you know, daughter of Superfly and all that. That leads up to this match, which is, you know, miles ahead of a Diva match we usually get.
I was going to say, and I agree with you to a point, Omega, but I think what's unfortunate is you have Beth, Karma, Tamina, and Natty. You could actually build a really interesting women's stable out of that, and then you would have to make sure that your fluffers can wrestle.
And on that note,
that was almost my point.
Down and strap them on.
That was almost my point, where they're booking these, you know, they actually book this up properly, and they actually book it like a wrestling feud leading up to tonight to a really good match, to intentionally add some credibility, to intentionally add some definition to the women's division before we book Karma and Beth. So that it does look like, you know, Beth has taken on, you know, her best challengers, and none have beaten her.
I think she has to take on Natty first.
They're still allied, though. I mean, you know how it goes in the WWE. You know, if a heel says no one has beaten me, he means anyone who doesn't agree with me, I have beaten.
Yeah. There you go. On that note, we're going to take a first time out of the night. Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got a whole bunch more wrestling chat and discussion on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
When one advertises The Rack with Jackie and Lindsay, they would tend to rely on cheap jokes about the female mammary glands. I, being someone of class and breeding of kittens, am going to challenge myself to go through this whole commercial without making such lowbrow jokes. So here we go. The Rack is a show about two lovely cane kitten-wanting women named Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward, both of whom have recently joined the Wild Talk Radio Network to give the female perspective about the world of professional wrestling. Wait a cotton pick a minute here. Another wrestling show? Don't we have anything else to talk about on this goddamn network? Can't someone around here come up with a fresh, new, and different idea? Seriously, it can't be that hard. You know, I'll come up with one right now. Two geeks get together to interview large bosom ladies at gaming conventions. An already enlarged lady talks to people about her experience getting breast implants. A bosom race of bosom women talk about their taking their bosom ship to the planet Bosom. Watermelons, fun bags, busts, milk factory, knockers, jugs, nipples, jubblies, stonking great tits. Well, that challenge was a bust. But that doesn't mean The Rack is on a great show that happens Thursday nights, 11 PM Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. Big ass boobies.
Tired of the same old view of Monday Night Wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night. Just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Bashing the Books. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic books, and I just let you know what's going on. So, every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not, who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bashing the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Go! If you close your eyes, your life can make it two, three fields. Dreams you never lived in, scars never healed. In the darkness, life will take you to the other side. Find me waiting there, you'll see if you just close your eyes.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The new look,
Wild Talk Radio Network.
Props going out to Mr. Rock and Sock for finalizing 95% of the site. We got a couple of tweaks that we just got to do, but you will notice a couple of things on the brand new homepage. We've actually got two new sections that we put up. Everything old is new again, in that we used to use it way back in the day. But you'll notice that we have upcoming show posted, and right below that we'll have the latest program here on WTR. So you're always going to be able to see what's coming up next, what's going to be going on that program, and when it's going to be. And once again, props to Rock for finalizing about 99% of it.
Yes, 99% of it. And can I show something saying that if you like to post news on the Wild Talk Radio Network website, please contact. We're looking for news. We're looking for someone to, if you have an opinion column. An opinion column as well. We're taking applications for that as well, along with an interview recapper. And yes, this is where we say, Spug has a column on the website. Spug, what's the name of your column?
Sea Show.
The Sea Show, written by the Spug Guy. And I've noticed you've got two up already. You're going to be doing that every week, are you, Spug?
Mm-hmm, one a week.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. I read them both, and you make some eloquent points, and you got just enough in there to cause people to, maybe get into discussion with each other without being overtly controversial.
Wasn't necessarily trying to be controversial. It wasn't really the whole point, but
I know it wasn't a dig. It wasn't a shot. I was just saying.
But yeah, contact us if you're interested in posting on the website. Contact us on Facebook or use the email button on the website. Thank you very much.
Rather lackadaisical show from Sir Rockin tonight, hey Alan?
He's fine.
Yeah, he did okay.
I've been shilling stuff all week. Screw you, Tim.
Are you shilled out?
For the
He's
moment.
He's had the pimp coat on all week, bro.
For the moment. We'll see about later. Go back to your
show. He's a little shilled out for a moment. Hang on a second. He'll go back to the bank. Back to Elimination Chamber talk. Of course, we talked about this earlier. John Laurinaitis wasting time coming out for his mega announcement, getting interrupted by Alberto Del Rio. They're complaining about Teddy Long. Mark Henry comes out, calls Teddy Long a bully. You know, Christian returns and backs Johnny Ace. You know, he blames Teddy Long for his injuries, and then they all get their picture taken together. So this was the mega announcement, and all I can say is, what the fuck?
I had to pay to see that.
Well,
segment filler. Wow.
It's not. It's actually setting up something. If you think about it, it's going to build something to WrestleMania.
I'm trying to picture Peanut Head, Teddy Long, former manager of Doom, as a bully.
It's going to be a battle for power at WrestleMania.
Oh, God.
So it's going to be Teddy Long versus, Johnny Ace in a Hell in a Cell match.
No, what they'll do is that Teddy Long will have his, it'll be a tag team. It'll be a six-man tag. Mm-hmm. It'll be Del Rio, Christian, and Henry versus Teddy Long's team.
And doing it with six men with Alberto and Mark Henry. And Christian, it protects them since they're all going to be coming back from injury. And they don't have to do something
team
crazy.
Team Blue Cross Blue Shield over here.
So they don't have to do something crazy like Money in the Bank.
No, Kofi's got that job.
But yeah, no, that's all fine and dandy. Set some shit up for WrestleMania. However, you did not need to waste pay-per-view time tonight to do it.
But you had four matches, and you know what was left with your talent? Where was the what other talent would you put on the pay-per-view talent?
You could have put Swagger versus Ryder. Honestly, if you hadn't done all that stupid shit with him with Kane and Cena, you could have had a pretty good match between Ryder and Swagger.
But they, you know,
World Tag Champs are sitting there going, hey.
What about us?
No Primo and Epico. Hunico could have come out riding his little bicycle and gotten a laugh out of everybody.
But you couldn't do
that. I mean, how poor do you have to be? You can't even afford two fucking bicycles.
This is where Spug would go say, typical Mexican.
Oh, no, hashtag typical
Mexican. Hashtag typical Mexican.
Not in this case.
Hashtag LAX ripoff.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you know, anything TNA does, WWE can do better, and they're more than happy to prove it after TNA does it. Right, Alan?
I got joked with Homicide. I said, dude, someone stole your gimmick. And it's a shame, because Donnie Marlowe, also known as Haku's son, also known as Camacho, is actually really good. And I get they're building to that, but you don't need to do the whole Deacon Batista thing with this guy. You could have put a bunch of matches on this show. Like you said, you could have combined Gabriel and somebody against Swagger and the tag champs and have a six-man match and fill some time there.
But there's no one feuding with each other. That would make sense.
Well, who's to say you can't start a feud at a pay-per-view?
And end it at a pay-per-view.
If only for the crowd pop. You mean you could have done something like, You could have done something like Swagger and Brodus Clay.
They've taken Brodus Clay off TV because Vince McMahon feels that his in-ring work needs work.
And he's right.
Well, you take him off TV for 4 months. I wonder why he comes back rusty.
No, Brodus Clay really isn't that good, though.
Yeah, he's gotten his pops doing the Funkasaurus crap, but, you know. You can only go so far with that, I think.
As long as you weren't taking the filler seriously tonight, you could have done at least something to keep the crowd into it.
There's plenty you could have done. And like I said, if you don't do the stupid stuff with Kane and Cena, where Zack Ryder is the, you know, you basically kill everything you've built up with that guy over the last 6 months, you know, then you have Zack Ryder versus Swagger for the U.S. title at that show.
But it seems like they're building to Zack Ryder versus Kane at WrestleMania.
Why?
Why not? Revenge factor.
Revenge.
It's an awful match.
But it's a story.
It's an awful match. It's a really good push for Ryder if he can actually, you know, get a shot at Kane at Mania. And it is Zack Ryder. You know, he's like number 3 in the sales right now for merch. You need to put him in there somewhere, and
exactly.
It's kind of built in at this point.
And actually, yeah, I have the question
The question there is it going to do Zack Ryder any good if he doesn't get a win over Kane at WrestleMania? And if he does get a win, how many people are going to buy it? I'd have a hard time buying Zack Ryder going over Kane.
Who the hell are you, and what'd you do with Tim Stein?
I could totally see it happening. Anything,
okay.
You know, we'll look at this chamber match we're going to talk about in a couple minutes.
That's
you really
exact,
think
that was
going to happen?
Exact point I was going to make. I think tonight proved that you can book an underdog in a losing situation and still put on a really good match that elevates it.
Exactly. Ryder doesn't have to win. You could have the whole, since they're doing this whole All My Children thing with him and Eve Torres, you could have the couple reunite at WrestleMania and she helps him conquer the evil.
Well, it's not gonna be a conquer the evil thing.
Love conquers all. That kind of thing.
No.
There are different ways of booking where he could come out fine. If he could just stand his ground against Kane or refuse to stay down for Kane, you know, at least put up a front, at least put up a fight. I mean, you could still make him look really good that he could stand up to the monster.
Don't have Chavo Guerrero Kane from a couple of years ago for the ECW title.
Right, and that's better than him having, you know, a match with Jack Swagger that no one will care about. Honestly.
People will care, because if you look at it, booking-wise, that's the guy that started it all. That's the guy that injured Ryder in the first place in the tag match, and then later that night took the belt from him.
But when you're building up to your biggest show of the year, Kane is the bigger star, and you want.
I'm not talking about putting Ryder and Swagger at Mania. I'm talking about putting them in Elimination Chamber tonight.
But
Rock,
they broke away from that story 5 weeks ago.
Never mind.
I get to be quiet because you guys are going to talk about a chamber match that, unfortunately, due to the kids in the house, I didn't get to see much of.
Yeah,
you didn't really get a chance to catch it. Yeah, the SmackDown Elimination Chamber.
Didn't even know the endings you guys were talking about. I sound like an ass going, yeah, what? Sheamus didn't make his decision. He did. Whoops.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The best part of the SmackDown Chamber match was all of the Rocky Moreno vignettes.
It's way more violent.
The chamber match started like, This match started so freaking slow. It's just like, really? This goes over the Raw Chamber in any way whatsoever? And it kind of, it had a good way of building its momentum. And then when, you know, we get into the last 5 minutes when, you know, Santino starts kicking into high gear, he actually made this match really exciting.
This was a way, from the bits and pieces that I did see, this was a way more violent chamber than what you had.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Raw.
Oh,
just
oh,
look
babe,
at it. I mean, those pods yeah. were get. That's why you couldn't have this match open, because how are you going to fix those pods?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The way this was booked, that does make sense for the Raw chamber to come first. And, oh my god, like, I pretty much died laughing when Sho went into the chamber to get at Bryan. That might be like the worst possible situation someone could be in that match.
Stuck in a chamber and having that big old scary looking guy coming after you and actually literally tearing the pot apart to get.
Well, yeah, it'd be like being stuck in a phone booth with him.
There are a couple moments I thought it was funny that Cody Rhodes made fun of Kali or shot a comment off to him, and then all of a sudden, ding! Hey, there's Great Kali.
Yeah, wait a minute, Omega. What's a phone booth?
You're asking me.
It's showing your age.
It's the it's the thing that Cena gets into before he changes into his ring outfit.
I see.
Wow.
Okay.
Foreshadowing. Good stuff.
So, yeah, it comes down to Daniel Bryan versus Santino.
And I thought that son of a gun was going to win it. I was sitting there at the end going, what the heck is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, when Rock mentioned, hey, there's a live SmackDown on Tuesday, I'm like, oh, I could actually see this happening. And that's, oh my god, that little fake Italian son of a bitch. You would have thought it would happen.
And when he hit the Cobra on Daniel Bryan, I was going, oh crap.
Which, basically at the end just, winds up proving that WWE succeeded in what they set out to do by putting Santino in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well,
Mick Foley 4 years ago taking on The Rock and on the Monday Night Raw that Tony Schiavone shut his mouth off at. You went. I do believe that this could happen.
Yeah, well, yeah. You thought that he's just going to be in there as a joke character, you know, maybe be pinball for a big show in Kali. He was the most exciting part of the chamber, and I don't just mean like that the moments where you thought this could actually happen. Holy crap, are they actually doing this? Even wrestling wise, him and Bryan went full tilt.
They put on a good show, the two of them.
Yeah, it'll make you want to seek out a replay just to go, did I really just see that? Where's my DVR button? Holy crap.
Well, hey, you know, what those two did together in the ring after everybody else was eliminated, it's definitely worthy of tracking down a replay, don't you think, Spud?
I'm not tracking down a replay for 5 minutes of that match.
Well, it's not like you have to break your neck to find it. So.
There's two other things about the match that stood out for me. You know, number one is the fact that, you know, Kali comes in, lays waste to everybody, and then gets taken out by one spear. Here's your giant, former world champion, one hit, done.
It was also from the Big Show.
I know it was from the Big Show, but Big Show's spear hasn't put down guys half the size of Kali.
First time for everything, champ. That's the worst part of it.
The other thing, you know, the other one was Barrett. Once he actually started using the Elimination Chamber itself, that it got pretty damn, like, it's like as soon as Bryan came out of the chamber, everyone decided, okay, now's the time to start, you know, beating up this cage. Because you had Pods getting destroyed, Bryan getting tossed around like a rag doll, Barrett's crucified Santino. I almost said Sandman out of instinct there. it just got really brutal all of a sudden. And it, you know, up until that point, no one used the chamber, and then all of a sudden, half the chamber's broken.
They were funky about it tonight. They really were. I think matches like the chamber, or the cell, or the cage, I mean, yeah, Brett and Owen did it at 10 where they could prove that you could have a cage match and not bleed everywhere. But I think in certain circumstances, you have to. And with a match like what they had tonight, there needs to be a little bit of blood.
Yeah.
In this culture, man, that's not going to happen.
It just doesn't seem believable. I mean, this is a dome of chain link cage. When Bryan got power bombed into the side and just got slid all the way down, you know, that's a spot that looked like it should have shredded his back to bits.
Big Show getting double suplexed should have done more damage.
Well, yeah, that or getting thrown into the Lexan because it's supposed, well, the plexiglass, it's supposed to be bulletproof Lexan.
Do they have like a corporate sponsorship with them? Because they kept mentioning that a lot during both matches. They kept expecting, like when we watched the UFC, you know, we're sponsored by, and here comes Lexan and some guy with a gun going, bidding, bidding, bidding. See, look, Michael Cole stays alive behind it.
Okay, I've got a problem with that right there, Alan.
The fact
using
that we put him
in to protect Michael Cole.
Yeah, but it proves, you know, let's the IWC loose on him. Like, you want to take on Michael Cole? Go get him. Ha, huh, look glass. You can put anybody back there.
Yeah, you can't touch him. He's got Flexan. No, I don't think that I would like that. So I'm glad that they're not legitimate sponsors. But yeah, no, they did a good job at trying to convince everybody that that was like real the real bulletproof stuff as opposed to, you know, 1/8 inch thick plexiglass.
It's a little thicker than 1/8 inch, but.
Well, you know what I mean. There's no reason why I can't exaggerate just a tiny little bit like other people.
Or so, exaggerating?
I never said you were.
Oh.
Maybe it was a shot, Alan. You never know.
Ooh, why would you ever take shots at other people?
Heaven forbid.
I never take shots. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So, but yeah, you know, overall, SmackDown Elimination Chamber, Daniel Bryan retains. Any kind of a big shock that they wound up going this route?
Ooh.
In a little way, just because they've been playing him as such a wormy champion that I almost didn't expect him to leave. It was more or less the people they put him in the match with that made me think that he was going to retain. Which I think is why I thought Santino was going to win it there for a minute.
Yeah, I have to admit that they did that quite well. And, you know, definitely props to those two guys for pulling off what they did at that last part of the chamber match. But, you know, that they want to have Daniel Bryan holding that title into WrestleMania when he finally goes after Sheamus, Sheamus finally comes after him, which I know you missed, Alan. That's what happened.
Yep, that I'm going to find a replay somehow.
And so that's the SmackDown Chamber match. Up next, U.S. title match. Now, I confess I didn't get a chance to see any of this, so I can't talk about it.
They've been doing this a lot with these time filler, you know, all of a sudden backstage. You got a problem, we're going to wrestle.
It was a squash match on pay-per-view and had no business being there.
Kind of like the John Laurinaitis mega announcement?
Yeah. Waste of time.
Any thoughts on it, Buck?
If they want to have the U.S. title match on the card, great, especially considering you had all of 3 matches announced, 4 for the Divas, if you include that. It would have been, you know, okay, fine, would have been nice, just a slight build-up, you know, week, maybe 2. Not asking for much.
Are you sure you're not asking for much?
I didn't think I was. Apparently I am.
Surprise!
Hey.
Yeah, I know. So, I don't know. If you guys have any opinions or discussion about this match, go ahead, because I can't talk about it.
Nah, not much.
Waste of time.
Got 2 guys at payday. I'm happy for both of them.
Aside from being a waste of time, yeah, Alan, I guess you're right.
Yeah, 2 boys got a payday. I'm happy. You actually had the U.S. Championship defended since the IC title has just become the thing that Cody Rhodes takes to the ring.
And then, of course,
if he got a payday, does that mean Gabriel can actually afford a better haircut now?
Nah, he's the Shima Zion of this company with the haircut.
Tired of him coming down to the ring looking like an anime character.
What, you don't like that hair? You don't like that updo?
No. Dude, I'm a Japanese geek, okay? I keep expecting that to turn gold and start kicking everyone's ass. Doesn't happen, but I keep expecting it.
Be kind of funny if it did happen. I'll admit, I'd be tuned in watching. But of course, the U.S. title match won to Jack Swagger, so.
Now talk about this match longer than it went on. Move on.
Yep. Up next, the main event, the ambulance match, John Cena versus Kane, and I'm sorry, I don't see why this one got the chance to be the main event. Other than the fact that, hey, it's John Cena.
That is the only reason.
It wasn't the main event, it was just the last match.
Yeah,
the
main event
happened earlier in the night.
Yeah, that was the SmackDown chamber.
You gotta think of it in the Hulk Hogan house show era. Hogan always went on 3rd or 4th, so that was your main event in certain aspects.
I mean, seriously, I mean, if the SmackDown chamber match ended this show, you had that great a showing from Morella, it got the crowd that hot, and then you end the night on Sheamus picking his Mania opponent, that's a perfect ending to the pay-per-view right there.
Yeah, fade with him with the WrestleMania logo standing over Daniel Bryan's a good one.
Exactly.
Happy ending for everybody.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know one girl listening at least who was not happy with this ending.
Oh, really? Are you kidding? Somebody was not happy with this ending? Tell us all about it, Omega.
You mean one girl? I know 2.
There's another one. I'm thinking of one in particular.
Yeah, of course, sure. But you just never mind about getting your dictation taken.
Dun-dun.
Well, tell me I'm wrong. The only reason he brought her up to begin with is because she takes his dictation.
No.
Moving along, boss. No. Moving along.
Yeah, moving on. John Cena winds up winning. False finish? Not really. They can't classify it as that. But what happens now, now that John Cena has defeated Kane without embracing the hate?
Could still happen tomorrow night. Never know. Between you get 6 weeks to kill to get to Mania with them, and how many announced is Dwayne Johnson on so far? Three at least?
Three or four.
So while he's not there, you could have that whole Jake Roberts Ultimate Warrior thing from back in the day where he's turning him to the dark side type thing, and eventually Cena goes heel. Or he doesn't go heel. Who knows?
I'm sorry. I just can't see them turning Cena heel anytime soon.
Yeah.
Except for the one night for WrestleMania, because, everybody's going to be rockheads.
But as we've seen it, half the audience has already done it. Hello, Cena sucks shirts are being sold at house shows.
Yeah, but you can do that without actually literally turning him heel.
I know, I'm just offering varying opinions on it that I have heard in the last few weeks from people when I go out to events and even just at the radio show's email address. I keep hearing people going, so Cena going heel. He's going to be a tweener for the rest of his career, it feels like.
I wouldn't exactly call what he's doing being a tweener.
Fan-wise, he's a tweener. He's in certain buildings. He's 50-50, and some, like, you go to New York or when he was in Chicago with Punk, holy crap.
That doesn't make him a tweener. That just makes him reviled by half the fan base. That's a little different.
Okay.
Just saying. But I have to admit that I was a little bit disappointed that I didn't see Raider during this match. I know he's all beat up and probably storyline-wise and traction and shit like that.
I'm surprised no Eve Torres either. I don't know about Omega or Spug or Rock, but I tweeted it out going, this is a no-DQ situation. I'm surprised neither one of them was involved in any way here.
Well, for Eve, I can see, either Cena telling her don't interfere, which that might have been a better time waster than that. Natty's gonna fart again. Or, a writer, I can imagine, not being able to actually get into the arena.
What, him having one of those Stephen Hawking robo chairs bring him in now?
Yeah.
Or wheel him in the iron lung.
yeah, poor guy's looking like Tim White at this point.
Yeah, how many times can you kill him off? I mean, without him dying.
Enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, but, bringing up Ryder, I just wanted to touch really quickly on that bump that he took at the end of Raw last Monday night. Now, when you first initially saw it, it looked like, quote-unquote, extremely sick, so to speak. And then you see the replays, and you see that he's landing on a pad that's a good 5 inches thick. However, you know that he still felt that landing, even with that padding underneath.
Those knees just looked like they were going out.
Yeah, I want to hear from Spug.
That's a bump that you call popping. That's a bump that they call popping for the boys or popping the boys.
Yeah.
Because that's a bump that the guys in the back pop for. The crowd enjoys it, but that was more. I guarantee it that bump was meant for the guys in the back, not for anybody up front.
Yeah, I would have a hard time. Excuse me. Would have a bit of a hard time disagreeing with that completely. Absolutely. It was a great bump. But at the same time, I don't know if they needed to go quite that far, did they?
It's a tricky one. It totally is. Because we talked about Tuesday night. It harkens back to the New Age Outlaws and the dumpster, but those two guys were way safer than Zack Ryder was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it looked like a sick bump. I mean, just the way his legs were twisting. I didn't know whether or not he busted an ankle on that spot or not. So it accomplished its mission. I mean, it screwed Ryder up for another week, and more than that, it makes Kane look all the more sadistic. No matter how much he's beaten up Ryder, it's still not enough.
But it was all in all, it was definitely something to watch.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you, Tim.
at that one spot off the ambulance tonight, I was just, as soon as they started climbing up the ambulance, it's going, this is going to go bad.
we got somebody in the chat room. That was cute. Ustreamer 434-775, Zack Ryder equals Wile E. Coyote. Zack Ryder segments brought to you by Acme.
There you go.
I gotta admit, that was, okay. Props if to you, there, Ustreamer in the chat room. That was kind of funny.
If Ryder literally starts using like giant oversized slingshots and rocket packs to get revenge on Cena, I will laugh my ass off every week.
Hey, I will definitely tune in to watch that if that happens.
Yeah, we talked about it Tuesday night, and I talked about it on Triple Talk Wrestling Radio. I said I could see Cena losing this match and it not affecting his WrestleMania thing, because it's like a one, what's the comic book phrase? It's a one-off. It's like an episode, a one-off episode. Yeah, it's a one-shot type situation. Yeah, he can lose to Kane and still keep his pop going into Mania.
No, he's not allowed to, Alan. Forget it. He's not allowed to do that.
There's can't lose. Jesus Christ could have shown up tonight and John Cena still would have won.
Whoa. It's Sunday night. I thought you learned from a few years ago. Jesus Christ, God, none of those guys show up on Sundays.
Forgot.
Yeah. There's two ways this match should have ended. Number one is for Kane to actually win and actually knock Cena down a peg before going against The Rock, make him look a little bit more beatable. Or, and what probably would have been the best way out of this, is if Cena had won, but had to go to Kane's lengths to do it. I don't just mean, you know, okay, attitude adjustment off the top of the ambulance, because Cena's done that crap before.
Like, Batista.
That's just Cena getting pissed off. That's not Cena going evil. And then at the end, after he does it, he's still doing the same poses. He's still playing to the crowd the way he always does. It's like as soon as that bell rang, all of the build up to this, all of the build for Cena to have this edge to him, this more vicious streak that Kane was trying to put into him, which would have given him something against The Rock, would have given him a different edge in the match, completely goes away. Like, the second that bell rings, he's happy-go-lucky Boy Scout again.
Or you could have just had Eve come out and give him a congratulation wet one.
Or The Rock could have shown up on video going, congrats, I'll see you April 1st.
That would have been a nice pop. So on that note, with everything wrapped up, I think it's time we take our second time out of the evening. Everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got a lot more coming your way. Don't go anywhere. We also have the phone lines open. We'll pimp out the number on the other side of this timeout.
Previously on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show.
Alright. Apparently it's going to be a very special musical episode. This is going to be like the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
You know, one week we might actually do that. I should have picked that as my topic thing.
Oh, shoot.
Everybody sings? Fuck you.
You have to find your own news brief and write a song about it.
Oh, God.
Man, that's like...
I know what mine would have been. Strawberry found dead in the ditch.
Nice. Well played, sir. Well played.
Just another goddamn wrestling show on Wild Talk Radio.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
ha, is that Shell Station open? Ha, ha, ha. Daddy might have himself some cig. I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know, I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now, goddammit. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, it fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you serious? You're not open. Can I get a pack of Camel Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. Yeah, I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to cloud by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said chill.
Behold the king. The king of kings. There is only one. Time to play the game. Time to play the game!
And welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Coming back, listening to a little bit of the game. Of course, that's going to set up what we're about to talk about. But before we do that, I want to pimp out the number. If you want to talk to us about anything we're talking about tonight, your thoughts on the pay-per-view or any of the stuff we're about to get into, you can pick up the telephone and call us 267-297-1397, or if you've got Skype, totally 100% free Skype to Skype, Skype Sir Rockin'. Once again, the number 267-297-1397. And Alan Wojcik, I noticed that there was a lot of hype and pump and vim and vigor in that promo that you have for OWW Radio. What happened? Did you drink like a pot of coffee?
What show?
Oh, I'm sorry, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Did you drink a pot of coffee before you recorded that?
No, no one was home or sleeping, so I was actually able to use my big boy voice for once.
Oh, it works out weird. Use your big boy voice. It's about goddamn time.
Yeah, can I use the big before my body decides to go to bed to pimp some stuff?
Well, that's what I was actually segueing to.
Wow. Oh, there's a lot to pimp. This Tuesday night, SmackDown can kiss my ass because we're going live against it. I don't care. 9 o'clock Eastern.
We're going to get more people tuned into you than are going to watch SmackDown, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, because we've got a rarity. We actually have someone that is on the TNA roster. He comes to us also because he's a part of Crossfire Wrestling's event March 17th in Nashville. The notorious KID Kid Cash will join us. We talked to her opponent this past Thursday night on the show, Annie Social's opponent at the WSU 5th Anniversary pay-per-view. April Hunter will join us on the 28th. We've been talking about it for weeks. And if I get them both in the air at the same time, it may probably be the whitest hot heat we've ever had on the show.
Either that or something's going to blow up.
Yeah, WSU World Champion Mercedes Martinez will be on at 9 o'clock, and soon after, Jessica Havoc, the Spirit Champion, and her opponent at the iPay-per-view will be there. There may be a third really valuable guest on that night, but I can't confirm or deny that because most people don't want me to do it yet. Do want to let you know, March the 6th, this rumored WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons, former WCW World Champion at Florida State University Hall of Famer, will be with us. And if you've been watching Ring Ka King on the internet, the TNA India product, you've seen Dr. Nick Dinsmore. Well, we're getting Eugene. That also comes from Crossfire Wrestling.
Whose music triumphantly returned tonight.
Yeah, and Spug nearly hit the roof when I told him, so March 13th. We had him on last May, and it was the thrill of a lifetime. Thanks to the help of KFU Commentaries releasing a new DVD called Being a Horseman, where they do a simulated life in the week of the Horseman, their legendary manager, and also WWE Hall of Famer J.J. Dillon is going to be with us on the 13th. And the entire month of April is the month of Extreme, and we'll get into that soon enough. So thanks for having me here tonight. You guys have enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much, and that's Alan Wojcik. Of course, catch him right here Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I didn't call it Ow.
Right.
Because I didn't step on my toe this time.
Right.
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 That being said, let's take a look at what else happened last Monday night on Raw. Hey, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, returns to the WWE, shows up, and starts yapping to Triple H. Now, last year and this year are complete diametric opposites so far. Last year, Michaels is saying, you can't do it, it ain't gonna be done, you can't do it. This year, he's trying to go Triple H into actually, taking the match. What are you guys thinking about, how that whole segment played out?
He's obviously lonely in retirement and wants company.
What, you think he's sick of, hunting animals and shooting them with a bow and arrow?
I'm just saying it looks like he wants his friend back, and the only way to do that is for Undertaker to destroy his career.
What do you think, Spug?
I think it's going to be phenomenal. I'm looking forward to it. But
now, is this... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, but I'm in the minority because I don't know as much as I think I do about wrestling, and therefore it's going to be a horrible match.
Give that a rest.
Seriously, will you give that a rest?
No!
There's no need for that, Spug.
Fuck you!
There isn't. There isn't. There's no need for that.
So, with the segment that happened last week between Triple H and HBK, is this gonna, like, lead to something? Or is this just a build-up for WrestleMania, and then that's gonna be over and done with?
The build-up for a goading... Somehow they're gonna goad Triple H into it.
But that's all. Like, nothing else is gonna come out of it. It's a foregone conclusion. It's gonna be Taker, Triple H.
Yeah, it's, do you remember when they brought back DX, a few years ago? for what was essentially Shawn's last run.
Uh-huh.
And Triple H had to goad Shawn into it from the cafeteria. It's the same thing.
Poor little girl.
Yeah.
Hey, here's your PG rating. Ooh. Kick a 11-year-old's head off. Ugh. The rumor is that they want Shawn Michaels to be the guest referee, and part of me is going, okay, that would be a bit of a twist from last year, considering this will be Trips Taker 3.
I don't know how you do that, though. I legitimately don't know how you make him the referee and have it be impartial.
Yeah, that's the issue I'm having here.
Well, wouldn't that be some kind of a twist where neither one of the guys is going to trust him, and he winds up calling it right down the middle? They did it with Undertaker and Bret Hart when Bret and Shawn were feuding against each other, and Shawn actually called it down the middle. Nobody expected it.
Until he tried to hit Bret over the head with a chair.
That's beside the point.
That's not calling it down the middle, sir.
He still counted the 1-2-3 in Bret's favor at the end of the day, is what I'm talking about. He didn't like turn around and say, "Oh, I got a hangnail," he could have done.
I don't under. If you're Triple H and Shawn Michaels is your referee, then like you have no reason to be skeptical of him. You don't.
Yeah.
There are reasons you could have. You know, it's Triple H, and you know they're talking. You know the extremes you have to go to now to beat the Undertaker. That's what Shawn was getting across today. He knows what Triple H is capable of, how vicious he can be in the ring. If they play it to the point where Triple H wants HBK in there as the guest referee, because he knows the depths that he's going to go to, and he doesn't want to go too far or protect me before I do something I'm going to regret, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a referee in there to keep it impartial between the two, but rather almost to save Triple H's soul in that match.
There you go. That could work. But you know what? The two of us here tonight live talking about this aren't the only ones with an opinion. We've got somebody who was kind enough to record one so we could listen to it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what show this is going to end up on, but I just want to have a quick little thing about the Triple H Shawn Michaels segment from this past week's Raw. I did notice on the Raw post show that somebody, I think it was either Lindsay or that guy from just another goddamn wrestling show, they were basically saying that, you know, Triple H came out and said that if your name's not Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Triple H, Stone Cold, The Rock, blah blah blah, that, you know, what you're watching is crap and you're crap for watching it. That's not the way it is. He's talking about those guys being the end of the era, which is technically true. If you actually take a look at it, guys like The Undertaker, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels are pretty much your remnants of the Attitude Era. And we are now in the Sports Entertainment Era, complete with quotation marks, people. And frankly, Triple H is right. You know, this is going to be the end of, you know, Triple H is on his way out, he's not wrestling that much anymore. We got The Rock doing his one-time thing. We got The Undertaker pretty much done after this week's, after this year's WrestleMania. And Shawn Michaels is retired and most of the other guys have moved on to something else. Sure, you could try and count Jericho as a part of the Attitude Era, which is technically true. But he's more evolved into the sports entertainer era style things. Same with Kane. Kane's an Attitude Era guy, but he's not really what you would call a part of the Attitude Era anymore. He's now become the sports entertainment character. Even though technically Kane should be about an 80s style goofy comic character. But, Triple H doesn't want to end the Attitude Era. He would like to have one remnant of it of being around, being The Undertaker, which I can understand. But now we have to think about what is The Undertaker going to have to do besides sacrificing his hair to Brutus the Barber Beefcake's altar of godliness, I suppose. you know, what's going to have to happen here is, you know, somebody's going to have to get Triple H to accept. Words aren't going to do it, so action's going to have to be the next thing, which means we could see the return of, like, pyros and caskets and all that type of fun stuff. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say about that segment, and I'm still watching Raw now. So, well, as I'm recording this anyway. Have fun, guys. Enjoy interviews. If this ends up on Kayfabe, if this ends up on WTR, then, you know, fuck you, Spug, but I love you because you sent me Mortal Kombat figures. Shut the fuck up, Tim, you old Canadian. And Omega, please keep fielding my questions because it's great to see somebody else copying them instead of me. and if this ends up on the rack, Lindsay, we will have to work out a way to do kittens soon. Okay, bye.
Nice to be able to just record your shit and get your shots in without having any, verbal retaliation, isn't it?
I do have a thought on that segment, which is a aspect that I actually quite like. And this is the point where I wish that wasn't pre-recorded, whereas, you know, I wish I could rebut that.
Okay.
The first, like, okay, the promo we got to see from Taker, you know, the haircutting thing, is, I love this concept that they're working with now. It seems like they're working now because what Triple H comes out and says is, I have to see The Undertaker as a commodity, you know, as an investment. And what's the first thing and Taker comes on with a promo where he's hacking his hair off. And it's almost like Undertaker is holding himself ransom. Like, I'm gonna destroy a bit of my own marketability until you accept this challenge. Which I actually like the approach of. Cause look how long that has stood.
Well, you know, that's quite the possibility. But at the same time, I've, read speculation, and that's all it is total speculation. Maybe he's coming back as, the American Badass for this last one.
That's what a lot of smarks from that era really want him to do, but honestly, it doesn't make any sense for him to do that.
Well, I would tell you the truth, prefer not to see the American Badass. Wasn't a big fan of Undertaker as you know, Biker Taker.
Yeah, it didn't seem like Undertaker. I know it's a more realistic character. I know it's far closer to his real personality, but it just doesn't seem like the character. You know, yeah, I'm gonna ride around to Kid Rock music. No, just don't.
Rolling.
Okay, that's Limp Bizkit, but we'll move on.
Whatever. I know it was Limp Bizkit. It was a joke. It was an inside joke.
Mm-hmm. Inside your own head, it was a joke.
Just you, never mind. There are a couple of people listening who would have gotten that joke, and that's who that was for.
Okay.
That's all. Just saying. But, Spug, what do you think about the possibility, as remote as we figure it's probably going to be, of the American Badass showing up?
Why? What's the point? He's Undertaker. Just come out in a pair of chaps and throw some punches and do a go-go plata like you always do and then walk away.
So, guys, who wins this match between the two of them?
Taker.
It doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter. Because the streak didn't fucking matter until about 5 years ago when someone like us caught wind that he was undefeated at Mania, and then the WWE went, oh, I guess that is true.
And kind of clued into their own writing, yeah.
Yeah, and then made it a huge deal. It should be used as a tool to get your next crop of talent over, and they're not going to. I don't care who you are or who you were in the business. Ric fucking Flair put over Shawn Michaels when he went out at WrestleMania 24. Undertaker is no bigger than Ric Flair. On his way out, Undertaker needs to put somebody else over.
Well, there are two schools of thought. with the streak. And personally, I'd like to see, you know, yeah, sure, maybe it's a fan created hype machine, but there are precedents as far as, you know, going, whether or not you're going out on top or anything like that. There are precedents for not doing the job as you leave. And that, you know, a case could be made. Maybe they'll have Undertaker come back at SummerSlam for one last go-round, and that's when he puts somebody over. Don't know. We can't say one way or the other because we haven't seen the booking sheet for the next year. So.
Yeah, it is true. It doesn't have to be at Mania. I mean, either if they're gonna break the streak at some point, it has to go to a younger talent. It has to go to someone who can carry that kind of star rub. Because it's going to define the rest of their career. If they're not going to do that, then no one should ever break the streak. It should stop at 20-0. You know, if he wants to, do the veterans thing, veterans go out on their back, then do it at SummerSlam. Do it, you know.
It doesn't mean anything if you beat him at SummerSlam. It doesn't. The rub is from Mania.
I know. I would prefer to see someone who deserves it of the younger crop of talent we have go over Taker at Mania.
You know, like I said, there were two schools of thought about this whole thing, and I've got two schools of thought about it. As a fan, I don't want to see the streak end. As somebody who's, you know, dealing with indie wrestlers all the time and still learning the business as I get further into it, I understand that's the time-honored tradition. When you go out on your back. So, like I said, two schools of thought. And I'm not going to choose one over the other because I don't know which way I'd want this to go.
To me, it just makes no sense. Like, if you're honestly, like, Triple H, if you were to have Triple H beat Taker, okay, I'm not gonna complain. And I know a bunch of people who won't. I know people who will, but it's beside the point. If you're going to end the streak, I hate calling it that. If Undertaker is gonna give somebody the rub, and do it with the enormous backing that he has, then it has to be at Mania. And I don't know necessarily if it has to be some absolutely young guy who is like Alberto Del Rio or Sheamus. I think you could do it to a John Cena or a CM Punk or someone who has been around in the company for quite a while and is established.
Yeah, I think you could get away with doing it for someone who's established. If Cena did it, he'd probably get backlash for years.
Cena farts the wrong way and people are writing about it on the internet, dude.
Okay, granted. Okay, point. However, you could give it to someone who's perfectly established, yes. I just prefer to go to someone, super new to this business, not super new to the WWE, like, Alberto Del Rio, even next year. I don't think it has enough time to do it. I just prefer to see it for someone who has, at least 5 to 10 years in them to where they could carry that for a long time because they will carry that. It'll be their stigma. They're the guy who ended the streak.
You know what works? Legitimately, and I just kind of thought of this. This year at Mania, you have Taker go over, right? Mm-hmm. Randy Orton slithers down to the ring and hits the RKO. And he just does the pose over Taker and makes the number 30 in the air. Or near 29, sorry. Makes the number 29 in the air and walks out.
1 year build up again?
A 1 year build up, but you can do a 1 year build up with Randy Orton as the legend killer.
Now, yeah, if you, man. Okay,
because you, What you do is you have him play the brash, cocky, arrogant heel again, where at every pay-per-view leading up until next year, you have him take on a legend and beat them again. And you do the Legend Killer t-shirt with the names.
Yeah, I was going to dispute that with the fact that SmackDown really doesn't have a top face to replace Orton with right now, and then it, you know, kind of clicked in my head. Yeah, they're pushing Sheamus to the moon at the moment.
Right.
Yeah, but at the same time, you could have him basically do the Legend Kill on all of the top heels of all time.
No, he would be a heel.
Well, you see, that's the problem, though, is that, yeah, you could do it to the heels, but once you become a legend, it's hard to be a heel again. Once you reach that point in your career, you're always viewed with this awe. You're always given this respect because you're of, you know, the old guard.
Right.
You know.
But you have him do that. Over.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, over. you can't do it as face because it's still Randy Orton beating up on 50 and 60 year olds.
Right. But at every pay-per-view, you have him take on somebody. Almost like the days of the angle challenge. And you may not have to do it at every pay-per-view, but you get the idea. Maybe the major ones. And then at 29. Because to me, there's three people in the company right now. Four tops. Cena, Punk, Orton, and Cody Rhodes, who legitimately deserve that type of rub from Undertaker.
Well, definitely some potentially interesting booking, and that would be kind of cool to see Randy Orton come out after the whole thing. So,
see, but I think
we just have to let the whole thing play out.
Yeah. See, I'm a Miz mark, so I would put the Miz in there too, but I actually do agree with Rhodes, but I think he needs a little bit more credibility to him before he can do that.
I think Rhodes has all the credibility you could need right now. Miz, to me, is just too manufactured and rehearsed. He hasn't done anything to earn that.
Miz was so last year, guys. Come on.
They didn't have anything to... Yeah, they completely whiffed on his character, and then, you know, R-Truth gets, you know, suspended.
You know,
and kind of breaks up the one thing they did for him.
I miss Miz walking out through the Jollypuff marshmallows.
All right, that being said, it's time for us to hit the great debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate.
In the last few weeks, I come out here and I sit here and listen to you spend your little nursery rhymes about Jabroni Avenue or Know Your Own Boulevard. You better get your ass serious because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to take his ass to Philadelphia, check right in to the SmackDown Hotel, roll right in to Room 316, and burn that son of a bitch to the ground.
You know, the crowd just came from the bathroom. You should have smelled what The Rock was cooking. I ain't faking. You should have smelled what The Rock was baking.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
We start off with the Great Debate. Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe taking on Chris Benoit versus Booker T. And we'll start off with Spug.
What were they again?
Kurt Angle versus Joe versus Benoit versus Booker T.
Not exactly the cream of the crop there. I would have to say Angle versus Joe. I mean, the best of five series was nice, but Angle Joe was actually a really good feud. The promos were pretty good, and the matches were phenomenal.
Omega?
I'm gonna make it 2-0 for the simple fact that I do, Angle, I do remember that Angle and Joe had some really solid matches, some of the better ones TNA was putting on at the time. I can't remember a damn thing about Benoit and Booker T feuding.
Well, they had a long feud over the, it was a best of seven over the TV title, I believe it was, back in WCW, and then they did the same thing back in,
WWE
on SmackDown.
So that basically means they had the same feud twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, but the first time around it was in WCW, so nobody saw it.
They had the same feud twice.
Yep.
Yeah, that doesn't scream of credibility to me. Doesn't scream of moving on either.
Just to get his opinion out there, Tim.
Well, I'm going with Booker Benoit.
Really?
Really? I remember watching the original Best of Seven in WCW, and I was hooked. I was completely glued. WCW came on, boom. I was there just to watch that, those matches. And, they did a really, really good job with the original. Benoit winds up winning one of the matches through, nefarious means that he had nothing to do with. And he's the one who called shenanigans. He wanted to be, he wanted to win honorably and all that other stuff. And, the entire thing, I don't even remember what the outcome was, but the entire feud between the two of them, it was like a gentleman's bet. It was very well done as well. And, it was some really great off the hook, over the top wrestling between these two guys. Yeah, sure. Angle and Joe was fantastic for the matches, but, putting the two of them side by side, remembering watching both sets, I gotta give the edge to, Benoit Booker.
But Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle moves on. The other one for this week is Tommy Dreamer vs. Sandman taking on Chris Jericho vs. Dean Malenko.
Oh, God.
Tim, you're up first.
Just so people don't think I'm a total Canuck lover, Sandman and, Dreamer.
You picked a dumb time to do that. Honestly. Like, Sandman Dreamer was good, but Malenko Jericho was so much better. Gave you so many more memorable moments. Like, there were two memorable moments out of the Dreamer Sandman feud. The caning, and then when, take it back, three. The Singapore cane match, the first one.
Yep.
When Sandman got blinded by Dreamer, and then when Sandman came back. Those were the three memorable moments. You look at the whole Malenko-Jericho feud, tons of memorable matches. The list was great.
Oh, God.
The list. I forgot about the list.
Armbar!
Siberian armbar. Like
the moss covered three handled credenza.
Yes. that was a phenomenal feud.
So one for one, I guess it's Omega's turn.
Pretty much.
Excuse
me.
Ooh.
Oh my God. Well brought up.
Pardon.
It does come down to like, man, those two feuds are both known for one of the better promos ever. I mean, you had the caning, which is what made Dreamer credible in the ECW as a hardcore guy. You know, it's what got him over more than anything. And then you had the list, just still one of the most brilliant promos I think I've ever seen.
Single leg Boston Crab.
Oh, jeez.
Hold number 983. Siberian toe hold.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
See?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give it to Jericho and Malenko. It's not by much, but I did prefer that feud. And I have to admit, I wasn't watching ECW at that time, so I was a little bit more exposed to the Malenko and Jericho.
So, Dean Malenko and Chris Jericho move on, and Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe move on. We'll have more matches next week on the never-ending great debate.
Good lord, how big was this one again?
A lot.
Well, we've got another 6 months to go, man. This will take us right up to almost
summer. Oh my god! We've been debating this since 2001!
We're gonna have to put this on hold soon. Because we have a special debate coming up for the month of March.
Oh, God.
Great. We can't get through a never-ending debate, and we got to put it on hold just to bring up another one.
This one's, it's a one-off. Do you remember the Mania Madness we did a couple of years ago?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
There's something similar. More details to come.
There you go. All right. That being said, hey, Rock, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
We're going to start off with Tim Stein. Tim, would you be interested in seeing a best of three between The Rock and John Cena?
Fuck no!
I didn't quite catch that. What was that?
No!
Okay, I guess that's a no. Okay.
No, no fucking chance. Not a hell. No. Not a goddamn chance. No way in hell. Forget it. No! Nada. Nein. Nicht.
Don't hold back now.
Spug, who is the funniest wrestling personality?
The funniest?
Past or present.
Doesn't matter.
You know, in terms of comedy gimmicks, like, Santino is up there.
Gold!
But, man, I don't know. Like, I guess I would have to kind of go with Santino, because he's just able to kind of wrap it all up into one package.
There you go. Omega, if a wrestling video game was to be remade from the past, because they're currently putting out one, but, you know, let's not count that one, and it's put out on all systems, what game would you like to see be remade into, you know, a modern game?
That's kind of hard, because just the general format of wrestling games means they're all kind of the same. You know, the one I would probably want to see, and this is going to be weird, it's going to be the arcade version of WWF WrestleMania. When they did everyone in these really deformed, soup cartoonish characters.
I remember that.
Because all the ones after that just made it really, like, all the ones after that made them really realistic, you know, as realistic as you can on, you know, like a 16-bit Super Nintendo, anyway. And, except for the In Your House game where they tried to rip off Mortal Kombat and it absolutely sucked. So I don't know, like, I know they do it with WWE All-Stars, but I'd kind of like to see something that just kind of played with, just kind of played with reality a little bit better.
There's your geek talk for the week here on the Wild Talk Radio. Tim, what would be the all-time ultimate female dream match, in your opinion?
Oh, the all-time ultimate, oh boy. One-on-one tag team, what? Does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
All-time dream match means all-time dream match.
Right.
I would put Penny Banner and Beth Phoenix against the Fabulous Moolah and Natty.
Spug, has there ever been a major announcement in wrestling that has ever lived up to the hype?
Yeah, Tyson.
That's it? Tyson?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tyson or Hogan with WCW in 94.
Okay. And finally, Omega.
Oh boy. I always worry when I go last.
So, there's been a lot of talk lately.
What piece of underwear am I this time?
You are not a piece of underwear this time. We covered both pair, you know, top and bottom already.
I thought you would have invented a third to mock me more.
So, say there's a Transformers porn movie, and while you're in the middle watching it, and on the screen came China, your first reaction would be what?
The most artificial thing in the movie so far.
Ah! Now, after seeing her, would you continue watching?
Hell no. I watched my Transformers porn for robots in disguise, and she's disguising a lot more than machinery.
There you go. That would be quick hits for this week. See, Omega, you weren't in any type of underwear or anything like that.
No. God. Given the subject matter, I almost wish I were.
Alrighty then. Well, that wraps up another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Those of you who are always with us every week, thank you very much for coming back. Those of you who may have found us for the first time, and I know there's a few of you, thanks for finding us. Hope you keep coming back. Big ol' shout out to all of the local indie wrestlers who have tuned in tonight. I'm talking about, of course, all of the guys in Alberta who have tuned in and checked us out for this evening, as well as all the other indie wrestlers around the world who have decided to check us out tonight. Don't forget, Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Spug, you going to be there?
Should be.
Tim, there's a day before Tuesday. You do know this?
I was leaving that for last because it's like the next thing, right?
Oh, fine. So, continue your plugs.
So what's going on with Kayfabe Radio?
Kayfabe Wrestling Radio?
Yeah.
We have April Hunter and the Notorious Kid Cash.
There you go. Hey, I guess April Hunter has a new page full of boobs on her website, so you can talk to her about that.
Full of what?
Boobs.
Oh.
If you follow her on Facebook, she keeps posting about new boobs. So, I don't know. I'm assuming it's more pictures of boobs on her website. Wednesday night. Anything going on yet?
Wow, you don't
even...
Just
another goddamn wrestling show, isn't it?
Yeah, why don't you pay attention to your network? Really, appreciate it. Just another goddamn wrestling show.
Thanks for fucking up. I did it too. Yeah, go ahead.
With Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry, check it out. It's a fun panel show. Check it out.
And then what's happening Thursday?
It's a show called The Rack with Lindsay Ward and Jackie Feist.
Yeah.
Ladies,
of course,
talking pro wrestling. Check it out.
Yeah, nothing happened on Friday, but Saturday night, CB Radio comes your way around midnight Eastern, or as close as the buggers can get.
Ish.
To it. Yes, ish. Depends on whether or not Ace is sober.
Ace?
Wait a minute.
Ace is
that never
on,
happens.
Ace is never on the show.
I know. I was just like, you know. And, of course, next Sunday night, we're back here doing another edition of Rust Talk Radio at our regular time, 8 o'clock Eastern, because there's no pay-per-view next week. And, guys, tune in tomorrow night for the Raw post-show. There's not going to be any live news coverage. There's just going to be talk about Raw. And we have no idea of the entire ensemble that's going to wind up showing up tomorrow night after Raw. But you two can get in on the fun, and you could even call in and talk about what went down.
30 minutes after Raw post show, myself and a bunch of others, we're talking Raw, and most likely about the Undertaker's big return to Raw. So check it out this Monday night, the WTR Raw post show.
There you go. That's it. We're done. Get the hell out of here. Go do something productive.